Amen. Glory. Love to hear the men sing. And what a great, great testimony to the cross. Amen and amen. So glad you're here today. And let me say right at the start that I believe that, and by the way, I do have goodies for the kids. Listen up. I believe every born-again believer is purchased by the same precious blood of the Lord that these men just sang about. I believe every believer is indwelt in this age by the same Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ. I believe every believer will one day be glorified together when Jesus Christ comes back to call his bride for the wedding that's going to be in heaven. And I believe each and every member of the body of Christ has the same intrinsic value in that sense. But when it comes to rewards for your service, those rewards will be greater or lesser for each one of you depending on your response to God's gift that he's given you. Your diligence, your faithfulness, your perseverance. I am saying that you can make yourself more or less profitable for the ministry in this church of God. I'm saying that you can make yourself worth more, even as we read about in verse 3 of 2 Samuel 18. It was during a time of civil war. It was during a time that David was reigning as king over Israel. And in this war, he numbered the people that were with him in the battle. He set military leaders over the army, who were generals. And he organized his army under three different generals and then different military leaders under each general. One was named Joab, the other was Abishai, and then Ittai the Gittite was the third. And David said that he himself would encourage his army by going into battle and fighting with them against the rebels. But the people protested. They said, David, you can't go. We don't want you to go. They gave the reason why they believed that David should not go as a foot soldier into battle. And the Bible says they said to David, thou shalt not go forth, for if we flee away, they will not care for us. Neither if half of us die will they care for us, but now thou art worth 10,000 of us. Therefore, now it is better that thou succor us or help us out of the city. 2 Samuel 18:3. Now listen to me well this morning. The Bible is not saying that intrinsically before God that David was worth more than other believing Israelites were. But functionally, in terms of David's impact upon the people of God, he was worth more than any one of them, Brother Matthew, by a multiple of 10,000, functionally. That brings me to the title of my message for you this morning. Again, how can you make yourself worth more? How can you make yourself worth more to God? How can you make yourself worth more to the people of God? I want to give you three things this morning from the Bible that you can have to make yourself worth something much more, functionally speaking. And number one, first and foremost, you can do it by becoming a genuine or a real believer in the Lord. You know, Paul found Timothy very profitable and worth a lot in terms of his impact upon lives for good. Therefore, as he was ending his life in prison and writing the letter of 2 Timothy, he greatly desired to see Timothy. He wanted to be around him because Timothy was worth so much to him. He banked on him, and he knew his future was tied in with him even after he died. And he knew that he would have joy just in being with Timothy. But the question this morning is, for you, why was Timothy worth so much to the Apostle Paul? I want to say first and foremost, it was because he had genuine faith in Jesus Christ as his Savior. Do you have genuine faith in the Lord for your salvation? Are you saved by grace through faith plus nothing? Why was Timothy worth so much? The Bible says, and from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy 3:15. Now, Timothy was exposed as a little boy to the Word of God. His mother was a believer, a Jewish lady. His grandmother, Jewish lady, believed the Old Testament scriptures about Christ. And they were believers, and they talked to Timothy about all of these things. By the way, it is profitable to have a place when you're a little child where you can have the scripture. I've been looking at a picture of Reuben, 22 years old, and my secretary sent me a picture of her mother, Angel, Alicia's mother, and she had about six kids who were kindergartners. I think they were all boys and cute as can be. And there was little Reuben in those pictures as a kindergartner, and he stayed with our school through grade school and into, I believe, maybe seventh grade or so. There is a benefit to being exposed to the Word of God in the home or in a Christian school as well. And it's a great opportunity. And I remember in our home, I would always have scripture reading as a young father. And six kids, and we would read the scripture. I remember my oldest daughter, who loves the Lord, and her children love the Lord. And I remember my oldest daughter, she was about 6 years old, and my son and her were going to Christian school. At that time, they picked up a taxi right at our house and took them to Christian school. And I remember my daughter, I gave a devotional on Noah, and I said, when Noah went into the ark, God flooded the world, but the ark was waterproof, and God saved them through the flood while the world died. And I said, that's like putting your faith in Jesus Christ. He is our ark, and you must put your trust, kids, in him to be saved, or you'll die and go to hell. And my daughter, she just believed that morning. And she went to the taxi, and she told her taxi driver, she said, I got saved through my dad. Tell me about Noah. And then later on, I got a picture of me in a swimming pool in North Scranton baptizing her. And boy, I looked a lot younger then, that's all I can say. But anyway, I was baptized. I had my short sleeve shirt, and it was the summertime, and she was getting baptized as a little girl. And that is a benefit. It is a blessing, provided it leads you to faith in Jesus Christ. I was yesterday, I was out bus ministry as a bus worker, and I was up there in Walsh Plaza. And while I was up there in Walsh Plaza, a little kid came up to me. His name is Dominic, and he is Kayla Hiller's son. And he was telling this kid, you should come. He said, I've been coming to this church for 7 years, little Dominic said. 7 years, he said. I haven't seen you once in all that time. Because the kid said, I used to come. He said, I've been coming for 7 years. I haven't seen you once. And I was thinking about the Hiller family, and I used to knock on doors, and we used to get them for bus ministry years ago. And I remember Bobby Hiller, one of the Hiller family, he would get on the bus, and he would be in Christian school. Later he got into Christian, and he heard the Word of God, and God worked in his life, and he asked me where he should go to college. I told him, go to a college in Florida where Abby Zukowski works now. And he went to that college, and Bobby Hiller got the assurance of his salvation. And God strengthened him and blessed him. And now he's pastoring. And I told Dominic, I said, your Uncle Bobby, it's profitable because he came to faith in Jesus Christ. And what a tragedy it is if you get exposed to the Word of God and you have these opportunities, but you do not come to faith in Jesus Christ and you miss heaven, even though you're exposed to the Bible. You know, Esau was exposed to the Bible, and so was Jacob, but Jacob died and went to, there you are, Missy, I was trying to find you over there. I saw Sabrina, but I didn't see you. Jacob died, and he went to Abraham's bosom. He went to paradise, but Esau died and went to hell. Two brothers, both had the opportunity, same parents, same scripture. You see, you can't blame your mom or your dad. You have an opportunity to be saved. And you will not be profitable for anything except to go to the dump. Jesus said Gehenna was the name of the garbage dump outside of Jerusalem. And things go to the garbage that are broken, that are no longer useful. And God says, if you don't get saved, you're going to be broken and cast into hell because you never had true faith in Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, when I call, Paul said to Timothy, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, the real faith, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and my mother Eunice, thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also. 2 Timothy 1:5. Paul was persuaded that Timothy had real faith. You say, how could he know? Because he could see the work of the Holy Spirit in his life. The Holy Spirit is like wind. You can't see the Holy Spirit, but you can see, listen to me, a wind when it blows a tree, you can see that tree being blown. I can see as a man of God the work of the Holy Spirit. I'm not a judge, but I'm a fruit inspector. And I can see the fruit of a born-again Christian according to the book of 1 John. These things are written that are, and it's important, my friend, that you are truly a real, genuine believer. And Timothy's mother was, his grandmother was, and apparently when Paul came as a preacher to their town, even though he had scripture with his family, he got saved when he heard the Apostle Paul preach. Listen to me. Would to God, listen to me. You listen this morning. Don't move around, but listen. Because God chooses to save people through the foolishness of preaching. Maybe you've been raised in a Christian home, but you haven't had genuine faith. And now the preacher comes and he hits that word of God and you believe and you get saved. I remember that's really, my mother got together with my grandmother. I was having problems in my home. I was not profitable in my home and family. I got to be 17 years of age and I was not profitable. You know, they say that Mark Twain actually said it, you need to build a 6-foot, 3-foot wide shed, and when your child turns 13, you need to cut a hole in it and put him in that shed and lock him in and feed him. He said when he turns 17, you close up the hole. And you know, when I turned 17, I was a mess, man. I was not good the home at that time. And I wasn't saved. And my mother got together with my grandmother. I went to my grandmother's house in Muskegon. I worked for my uncle mixing mud, plaster, and he would put it up. And I would mix mud for plasters. And man, I was working hard. I'd get tired. At the end of the day, my grandma had fried chicken, mashed potatoes, gravy, pumpkin pie, apple pie a la mode. Man, I'm getting hungry already. And I'd go in there, I'd eat that, man, I was happy. And then my grandmother talked to me about Jesus. Talked to me about the Word of God. I was all ears, whatever she had to say. And I remember I had been reading my great-grandmother's Bible. Her mother passed away. They had me in that bedroom. I was under conviction. I was going to die and go to hell. And the Bible says that's exactly what you'll do. You'll die and go to hell because you're not born again. I wasn't born again. But when my grandmother was talking to me, I was all ears. And she told me about Jesus, how he died and was buried and rose again. And that I had real faith in Jesus that summer. And it made a difference in my life because I had a hunger for the Word of God after that, and I wanted to live for God after that. The Holy Spirit lived in my life. I'm saying you can make yourself more profitable first and foremost by becoming a real believer in the Lord. And I'm preaching today to you so that you can personally put your faith in Jesus and become a believer. But secondly, you can make yourself worth more by putting on the uniform, joining the armory of God, and getting all in. Amen. Brother Jose, you know I was talking about that, getting all in. And I want to say that that's exactly what happened to David when he was a teenage boy. When he was a teenage boy, the army was standing up to the enemy, the Philistines, and there was a giant. He was about 10 feet tall, and he was challenging the army, and he was saying, "You bunch of cowards, come and fight me. If you can beat me, then you can win. And our army will surrender to you." And guess what? Not one of the army would go against Goliath. And even the king of Israel, who was taller than any other man in Israel, and who was the God-anointed leader of the king, Saul, wouldn't stand up to this person, Goliath. So this teenage boy came up, David, and he said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" He said, "I'm going to fight." And his brother didn't like it. He accused David of being prideful. He accused David of being a hotshot. He accused David of all these things. And David goes, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" I want to say, are you all in? It's those that are all in that are really profitable when it comes to the work of God, when it comes to the church of God. Are you, as far as whatever you are you all in? And David said, "Hey, there is a cause that's above me. There is a cause that's bigger than me. There is a cause that makes me come out of myself and forget myself and to serve God." And I'm saying that we have a cause that's bigger than ourselves, that's outside of, that the Lord gave us. And so, are you all in? If you're all in, first of all, you need to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and be born again according to His promise. And then after you get born again, right away, you need to get baptized. And when you get baptized, you get dunked under the water. We have water here. I bet it's warm. It's warm. It's just right. It's ready to get baptized. And when you go down under that water, that's like you putting on the uniform and saying, "Yeah, I'm a born-again believer, but I'm wearing the uniform." Like if you're a fan of Notre Dame, you're going to show it. If you're a fan of Ohio State, you're going to show it. But you're going to put on the uniform. And when you get baptized, you're showing that you have faith, because you're saying it doesn't save you, but it's like a wedding ring. If I didn't wear my wedding ring, I would be saying I'm ashamed of my wife. Amen. And some men take off their wedding ring, and that's not good to do. And listen, you could be married not wear your ring. You could be saved and not be baptized, but you're not all in. You've got to get in the army, and you got to put on the uniform, and you get in the army when you join the church. So you get saved, you get baptized. Have you done that? Have you done that? You say, "Pastor, what do you say?" I'm saying, come on in. The water's fine. Come on in. Get all in. And David said, "Is there not a cause?" And David was locked in. He knew there was a cause that would make him forget about himself and live for the Lord. And you need to have a cause that causes you to do that. You say, "Well, I got a cause, Pastor. It's that I want to feed my face. I want to take care of my body. I want to take care of myself. I want to make sure I got..." No, you need something bigger than that. And you need to get all in, and you need that kind of a cause in your life, and you need to get locked in. I remember Jose Valley, came here, trusted the Lord as his Savior. I remember I signed him up as my soul-winning partner, but he was half in and half out. And I remember he was going to church for a while after that. And I remember talking to Brother Zukowski, and I said, you know, Jose Valley, what he needs to get all in. He needs to be in the yoke of Christ all the way. And he needs to be here Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday. He needs to get involved in the Great Commission. And you know what? That's what we need. You know, a lot of people go to these support groups. Maybe they go to a mental institution to get support, or they go to rehab to get support. Do you know the local church is supposed to be your support group? But you know what? Even more than just going to the meetings of the local church, you're not going to get the full support unless you go out with somebody who's addicted to serving God. That's how I got involved in this. I hung around with Charles Ware, and he was my age, but he was addicted to serving God. And he was always busy serving God. I have people that want to talk to me, and I want to talk to them, and I do talk to them, but I'm always moving. I'm serving God. I'm serving God, and that is the best fellowship. And I remember Brother Jose, he started getting locked in, and then he started getting with Brother Zukowski, hanging with him. See, that is called discipling, and you get mentoring, and you get into it with somebody that can spend time with you, because you need that. And when you're spending time with somebody, you want to spend time with somebody that's like David. They got a cause. Not David's brother who pulled him down and tried to pull him away into selfishness. No, you want to hang around with somebody that will lift you up. I think of Brother Matt McWhorter here. And Matt McWhorter, when he came, he was in church, then he was out. Then he came back a second time, then he was out again. And he came back a third time, and after the third time, he decided, I'm going to bury myself in Grant Revival Baptist Church until God bless me up. Now he's got a Challengers class, amen? And he had 12 people out in Challengers class. 2 weeks in a row, he had 40 out on the bus. Those were his high numbers, thank God, on his bus. Got a bus route that he's doing. Involved in soul winning. Into Sons of the Prophets Baptist College. And listen, I'm just saying that somewhere in, he got locked in. He got locked in, and he hung with people that were addicted to serving God, the cause of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, you know, if you really want to get to know me, work with me. It's like a yoke on an oxen. You know, the yoke, the oxen's head is in the yoke. The ox's head is in the yoke. And the other ox is in the yoke. And Christ said, he said, if you labor and are heavy laden, he said, come to me. I'll give you rest. He said, you'll find rest for your soul. You'll rest in me for your salvation. I paid it all. Come to me. But then as soon as he says, come to me and you'll find rest, what does he say? Take my yoke upon you. And that's no yoke. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For my yoke is easy and my burden. Now he's saying, work with me. Some of you, you're working for the world. You're not gonna be happy. You're working for selfish things. Money's your God, or fame is your God. Get rid of that junk. Take my yoke upon you. Get on it! And learn of me. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's because all of the wealth, all of the wisdom, all of the power is the Lord. All you got to do is yield to him moment by moment, day by day, and work by him, and you will be truly blessed by getting all in to what he has for you. I want to ask you a question. Are you saved? Have you believed and put your trust in the Lord? Have you been baptized? Have you joined the church? And number next, whatever that is, are you all in? You know, I'm so glad at my age. I just had my birthday. I'm so glad at my age. What was it, 37? I can't remember. I'm so glad at my age that by the grace of God, I'm still all in. You say, why don't you get tired? Because Jesus keeps giving me fresh oil, fresh grace. And I'm just saying that I do it day by day. I take it one day at a time. And I'm all in to the yoke of Christ, and what a blessing that is, because His yoke is easy, His burden is light. And I think about, we're celebrating the inauguration of the 47th President of the United States. I think when all is said and done, it'll probably be 45 and 6, because I think one of those devils is going to have his presidency ripped and stripped from him. But we're celebrating that president. And what a difference between the imposter Joe Biden and the real president, Donald Trump. You know what the difference is? One guy is out for himself, and the other guy has a cause that's bigger than himself. And what is it? Make America great again. I told my Sunday school class, Marlene Tolley gave me that clock. Every hour on the hour, Donald Trump shouts, "We will make America great again." And I'm sitting at my desk, and it goes, 5 o'clock, "Hey, we'll make America great." Every hour on the hour. Amen. I now know why Marlene gave me that present. It was driving her crazy. She wanted to give it to me. And this morning I'm going out to go to church, and I got my Bible, I got my sermon, and my wife comes running up to me with the clock. "Please bring that to church too." So I brought it with me to church. By the way, any birthdays coming up? But I'm just saying, Donald Trump, he's locked in. He lived a billionaire life. He could have had the life. He's 78 years old. He could be cruising, man. But listen, he's locked in to making America. He's got a cause that's above him. How can you be worth more? Get locked in to Jesus Christ. Get locked into the cause of Jesus Christ. Get all in, not half in and half out. You know, that's the problem with the living sacrifice. It says in Romans 12, 1 and 2, it's not like the Old Testament sacrifices. They would bring an animal and kill it, and then they'd offer a dead animal on the altar. No, the Lord says in Romans 12, 1 and 2, you're supposed to give your body a living sacrifice. You're supposed to give that body as a living sacrifice. And you know the problem with a living sacrifice? It keeps crawling off the altar. It keeps crawling off the altar. You know, you guys go to youth conference, camp, and you get on fire. And you're back, "I made these decisions, man, I'm fired up." You know the problem is, then you get home and you turn on the cell phone, you look at these things, and you go back to the old stuff. You don't have them at camp. You could have camp all year round. That's what God wants. But we let these things get into our life and rob us, and then sometimes we fall down and we think, "I can't be worth anything." Hey, do you know when 2 Samuel 18:3 was written that he read about David being worth more than 10,000 of those guys? It was after he sinned with Bathsheba. Yeah. After he had 4 of his kids killed. Well, they hadn't quite been killed yet, but Absalom right then was rebelling against him. He was about to be killed. It was after that. But David, you see, he kept on with the Lord, even with those sins, even with those failures. In other words, if you fall down, get back up again. Don't quit. I've fallen. I've had consequences of sin, but I keep getting back up. And I keep getting all in. And I want to stay all in. And so how can you make yourself worth more? My friend, you can make yourself worth more, number one, by becoming a real believer in the Lord. But number two, put on the uniform, join the army of God, and get all into it. And you will make yourself so much more valuable. But I want to say a third and last thing. How can you make yourself more valuable? You can get some training for the Lord's service. You know, Saul, when he was being tormented, this is even before Goliath, when he was being tormented, He needed some good music to drive away the evil spirit. I hear people tell me, I don't like church music like you have. It's too boring. I want the spicy music of the world, you know. Well, you might want it. Your flesh might like it, but it won't drive away the evil spirits. You know, I remember in this country when rock music came in with a stop and a pestic beat and all of the rock music, and it's catchy. But listen to me. It's accompanied by evil. Look what happened to these rock musicians. Look what happened to these rock groups. Look at the fornication. Look at the sin that they bring in. I don't want that in my church. We used to have a rock band in our church, and we kicked it out. Gave it a good swift poop. And I'm just saying that we don't want that. Why? Because I am interested in people that are all in. And I'm interested in musicians that can serve the Lord and have good godly music. And Saul knew that he needed that kind of music to get rid of this evil spirit. I don't believe he was possessed by the evil spirit, but he was troubled by the evil spirit. And he said this, "Provide me now a man that can play well and bring him to me." Then answered one of the servants and said, "Behold, I've seen a son of Jesse, Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing, and the Lord is with him." The Lord's not with so many of these contemporary music people. Have the long hair down. God says men should have short hair, not that long hair. They're in rebellion. Revelation 9 says they have hair like women. That's not of God. Take the earrings out of your ear and get yourself a haircut, man. Somebody says, "Well, I'm not identifying as a homosexual. I wear my earring on the other side of the ear." Well, I wouldn't want to be a foot from being a queer, a sodomite, a homosexual. You say you don't like homosexuals? I love them if they get saved. And I want them to get saved. But I want to say to you that I'm just saying to you that you need to make yourself profitable by getting training for the Lord's service. Thank God for, I think of the Zukowski family. And they go to our Christian school. And they've taken advantage of Miss Perna, who comes in and teaches all kinds of musical instruments every week. And it costs money for her to do that, but they pay that money. And not only the Bajeski family, we have other families that are doing that. And thank God that's a good investment. Why? Because you make yourself profitable. Now, the Zukowskis are on vacation. But guess what? We got a bus kid that got saved and baptized, joined the church from Matt's bus route. His name is Elijah Rodriguez, and he played the piano this morning. Do you know why he played the piano? Because he enrolled in Miss Perna's class in school, and they're paying the money, and he's doing it week after week. And he's making it profitable. That we can have somebody from our church that's locked into the Great Commission. He goes out soul winning with my wife, he and his brother, every week. Because we want our school teachers to live it and go out soul winning and tell others how to get saved. You know, if you're not soul winning, you're not locked in. You're not really right with the Lord. Because that's on his heart. You want the blessing of God. You'll be telling people, got my mother back, my mother, but a mother back there with her son, Trevor. Trevor's back there. And I met them, in a laundromat up on Oak Street. And we went over the gospel, and they prayed to receive Christ. And praise the Lord for that. That's what we need to be doing. We all need to be doing that, not just the pastor. Everybody needs to be doing that. We need to sign up new people for this Thursday to get trained to do that. And that's what God wants. He says, go. That means go with the gospel. Teach them the gospel. All nations, all people. And then he said, when they get saved, baptize them. And when they get baptized, you train them. You take them out. And help them to do the same thing that you're doing. And it's great then when you're locked in. And then you get a skill that you can learn. I had two girls in the church. They came up to me and they said, Pastor, what can we ministry. I said, oh, Brother Zukowski, our youth pastor, I'll bet he's preaching on ministry. And the kids are getting it. And they said, Pastor, well, and so I went over some things they can do for ministry. But one of the things you can do is hang around somebody that's addicted to ministry. Diane Payone, addicted to ministry. Alicia Zukowski, not Alicia Zukowski, she is, but Angela Bajeski, addicted to ministry. She come up with another ministry. She said, Pastor, I got another ministry. I said, what'd you call it? Helping Hands. And she's trying to lay me out of ministry. What's she doing? I told the girls this. Looking to meet a need in the church. And she was talking about working with autistic children and helping them when we have these big days and so forth and so on. And I just ran into a lady that I'm trying to reach in the bus route that she's got a job working with autistic children and so forth. But I'm just saying that you can get trained for ministry to meet a need. Some people it's just, well, I just come and just attend and just bless me and give to me, and that's good. My name is Jimmy. I'll take all you can give me. That's what I'm here for. But wait a minute, you need to give out too. We talked about tithes and offerings. You're robbing God if you're taking in and you're not giving tithes and offerings. You need to hang around and get with somebody that can train you to serve God and then train you maybe in a particular skill to meet a need, and you'll be worth more. David was worth more than 10,000. Number one, because David was saved. Number two, because after he was saved, he got all in and filled with the Holy Spirit and got into the cause of God for Israel. And lastly, he got training. So he was skillful at what he did and he could be a blessing. You can make yourself worth more by doing these three things. I hope that you will do it. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed. The first thing I said to make yourself profitable is that